Chapter 38.
So much for secrecy, Seagram said, dropping a newspaper on Sandiker's desk. That's this morning paper. I picked it up from a newsstand not 15 minutes ago. Sandiker turned it around and looked at the front page. He didn't have to look farther. It was all there. Numa to raise Titanic, he read aloud. Well, at least we don't have to pussyfoot around anymore. Multi-million-dollar effort to salvage ill-fated liner. You have to admit, it makes for fascinating reading. Informed sources said today that the National Underwater and Marine Agency is conducting an all-out salvage attempt to raise the RMS Titanic, which struck an iceberg and sank in the mid-Atlantic on April 15, 1912, with a loss of over 1,500 lives. This tremendous undertaking heralds a new dawn in deep-sea salvage that is without parallel in the history of man's search for treasure. A multi-million-dollar treasure hunt. Seagram frowned darkly. The president will love that. Even has a picture of me, Sandecker said. Not a good likeness. Must be a stock photo from their files taken maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It couldn't have come at a worse time, Seagram said. 3 more weeks. Pitt said he would try to lift her in 3 more weeks. Don't hold your breath. Pitt and his crew have been at it for 9 months. 9 grueling months of battling every winter storm the Atlantic could throw at him, tackling every setback and technical adversity as it came up. It's a miracle they've accomplished so much in so little time. And yet, 1,001 things can still go wrong. There may be hidden structural cracks that might split the hull wide open when it breaks from the sea floor. Or then again, the enormous suction between the keel and the bottom ooze might never release its grip. If I were you, Seagram, I wouldn't get a glow on until you see the Titanic being towed past the Statue of Liberty. Seagram looked wounded. The Admiral grinned at his stricken expression and offered him a cigar. It was refused. On the other hand, Sandecker said comfortingly, she may rise to the surface as pretty as you please. That's what I like about you, Admiral, your on-again, off-again optimism. I like to prepare myself for disappointments. It helps to ease the pain. Seagram didn't reply. He was silent for a minute. Then he said, so we worry about the Titanic when the time comes. But we still have the problem of the press to consider. How do we handle it? Simple, Sandecker said airily. We do what any red-blooded grassroots politician would do when his shady record is laid bare by scandal-hungry reporters. And that is, Seagram asked warily, we call a press conference. That's madness. If Congress and the public ever got wind of the fact that we've poured over $750 million into this thing, they'll be on us like a Kansas tornado. So we play liar's poker and slice the salvage costs in half for publication. Who's to know? There's no way the true figure can be uncovered. I still don't like it, Seagram said. Those Washington reporters are master surgeons when it comes to dissecting a speaker at a press conference. They'll carve you up like a Thanksgiving turkey. I wasn't thinking of me, Sandecker said slowly. Then who? Certainly not me. I'm the little man who isn't here, remember? I had someone else in mind. Someone who is ignorant of our behind-the-scenes skullduggery. Someone who is an authority on sunken ships, and whom the press would treat with the utmost courtesy and respect. And where are you going to find this paragon of virtue? I'm awfully glad you used the word virtue, Sandecker said slyly. You see, I was thinking of your wife.